right, we are back. Terry and Gary's Low Expectations Podcast, episode 70-something. We're not even sure.
Track. Yeah.
That's how we roll. But we got Rhino in the house today. We're happy to see Rhino back
right
on the show, on his show. And, of course, today's guest is actor, Georgia Bulldogs fan, artist, Stephen Vining. How you doing? Oh, look at that.
There it is. There's a shirt.
Yeah, I want to get that out of the way real quick since you beat my Wolverines, and I figure I might as well just go ahead and give you your due with the national championship and everything. So,
you know, I didn't think about that with you being up in Michigan. You know, when I left Detroit at your convention, the whole airport, Michigan State, everybody. But yeah, I didn't think about that, so I apologize. But that was, it was just great to be Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I say. Anybody beats Alabama, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we're not sore losers, but it was a great season, and, you know, at least you get to, you know, experience and celebrate the victory, you know, so it's a big accomplishment, you know, to win the national championship, but to beat Alabama, too.
So. Yeah, and thinking about that, the last time they actually won was the year before I was born.
Yeah, it was 1980, I think, wasn't it? Something like that.
80, yeah.
1980, so they had a long haul. So it's about time. Hey,
this is the first time in my life I've seen it.
My guys don't win it, or the Tide don't win it.
Same. Likewise.
Deal with all the rest of them.
Oh, just so, you know, Gary, the way he started off, Stephen, you know, he makes it seem like I just bail on the show. Last week, I had some important things to do. I had to save. I have a little marina up here in Monroe, Michigan on Lake Erie, and I have a couple boats that stay in during the wintertime, and Mother Nature, you know, she always wins. So the wind was blowing out of the west, so it was blowing all the water out. And then the temperatures drop. So I have these de-icers. They're like bubblers. And they're like a little fan blade. So if the water drops, and if they're sticking out of the water, they freeze up. And they're like $700-$800 each, depending on the horsepower. So I'm trying to save those. I was going from 10 o'clock the night before all through the night battling it, you know, and then I'd have to shut them off, and then the whole marina would freeze over. And I'd have to turn them on just to get it to thaw. So yeah, it was like I literally finished up about 5:30 the next night, and right after our podcast, I go, Gary, I can jump on, but I'll be on the docks, and I'm tying on new bubblers and stuff. And I look at my clock at 5:30. I'm like, damn, I missed it. So I'm not as big of a delinquent as Gary may get out to.
Scheduled. I didn't know that. I thought the Manny Petty schedule was on at 4 o'clock on Thursday. I didn't know it was a life threatening situation. I'm sorry. I could have helped you. We did a chance with the podcast if I'd known that.
Yeah. No, that's okay. The pedicure was the day after. So, yeah.
Well, I actually messaged him maybe like 30 minutes ago, like, hey, are we in the same time zone? Because I had moved to Chicago a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, Detroit. I couldn't exactly remember. So I was like, oh, okay, we're in the same time zone. I didn't want to show up late either.
We've had that happen before. I forgot. Somebody came on like 3 hours early or something. And I was like trying to get on.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah, they were out in California. Yeah.
Hey, Rita Doobie wants to say hi. I don't know if you remember Rita.
Hey, Rita. I remember Rita up here in Monroe. I loved y'all's little city. I wish I had more time to explore when I was up there. Because, like you were speaking about being right off the lake in the marina, I wish I had gotten to see more of that area of Monroe.
Yeah, Monroe, it's a historic town, and, you know, I love Monroe. I've been here over 3 years now.
I won't say how long I've been here.
I know you've been, I would guess, as long as you've been with Ford.
I've been here 50 years, as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, wow. Born and raised, Gary's been here.
Patrick wants to say, hey, wait, Terry made it today?
Right. Thanks, Patrick.
We're not, we're not piling on Rhino today. Come on. Come on. That's not cool. Hey, well, Michelle's happy.
Thank you.
She saw you here last week, and she just abandoned ship. She just logged right off. So,
right.
We stick around today in the show. And yep, she missed you. Amazing show at IWR. You're a genius.
Thank you.
He knows.
So
Steve, The Walking Dead. I mean, is that, would you consider that your biggest thing, your hardest thing? What is it? I mean, I know you spent a lot of time in makeup and.
Yeah, I mean, I would say as far as acting, I mean, I've always been a creative person, and I've kind of taken adventures. Like, I started out in music. I worked in studios for a while. I put out some records on record labels, and then I got into acting. And as far as the acting career, I would say Walking Dead, Guardians, that kind of was the peak of where I was hitting. And I kind of hit a wall. I wanted to go a little further. But as I was aging, I was also not wanting to put on that much makeup consistently. I mean, I do love it, but it does require like a lot of love. And it's something that I would do for particular performances, but I'm very much more involved in the aspect of doing it for the performance rather than, you know, like the monetary value of it.
Right. I mean, you've done most of the most iconic, you know, Walker scenes, most of the ones that you see emotion, you know, in the Walker and the zombie. And it seems like they usually picked you to do those scenes, like when Glenn, you know, was walking away and you went behind mm-hmm. him, everyone's, you know, eating what was left of Glenn.
Yeah. Luckily, I kind of lucked out with a lot of that. Like, there's a couple of guys before me, like in the earlier seasons, Kevin Gilbreth and Coleman Humans. And even after me, Alex Hill is, he's very prolific. They use him a lot now. There's certain, they tend to know who's there to perform rather than, you know, who, and those guys and gals kind of get more of those walkers per se, I think. But it also is just a look of the draw. Like the Glenn one you spoke of, I remember getting that call, and it was supposed to be somebody else, but they couldn't show up, so it turned out to be me. So it could technically be anybody. It's luck of the draw sometimes. I just happen to be always available. So anytime they called me, I was like, yes, I'll be there. You know,
that's what Ryan always says. Always bring your wrestling gear. Always be ready.
Bring your wrestling gear. Be prepared. Yeah. So
never know when you're going to be needed. Hey, Patrick Mendez wants to know, Steven, how long was makeup? Do you walk? I'm sure it probably varies between, you know.
Yeah. As far as like, if it's just like my face, usually neck, because they'll have everything else covered up. It would take hour and a half. But I was also a lot like full-bodied makeup, and those can take anywhere from, you know, 3 hours to I've sat for like four and a half hours for makeup. I'm talking getting there at 4:30 in the morning, and you're just getting done at 9 a.m. to go shoot for at 9:30 to catch that light. You know,
you would make up the rest of the day then? I mean, you spend the rest of your...
If you don't film everything, yeah, you're going to go to lunch and you're going to eat in it and come back and do it all again.
Now, go ahead.
How long does it take to get out of the makeup? Obviously not as long as to
it's
get
quicker.
In.
Yeah, it's quicker. And it usually we're all impatient at that time too. So we're just get it off. But, you know, they take alcohol and this, I don't know what the other thing is, but they dissolve it, the glue and everything, and it just peels off. And it usually can take like a face 15, 20 minutes, and then you just wash up. But like, you know, a whole body, half hour, you know.
Yeah.
Now you're in Georgia, right? Is there there's some local restaurants? I'm sure. Now, you guys ever get bored and go into the local restaurant and eat your lunch there, dressed in full zombie or anything, or just were you had to stay on set?
Well, for the most part, we do have to stay on set. They try not to let you leave in full makeup. However, I actually do have two stories where I lucked out. I worked a special Halloween event. And I got to go home in makeup, and I came home and I hid under the trampoline and scared the living daylights out of my nieces when they came home. And then I worked a rap party in downtown Atlanta where I took the cast and crew took photos with me. And when I got off, I had to walk back to the hotel in the Omni in downtown Centennial Park, Atlanta. And I'm just walking around with an umbrella trying to hide from people taking pictures and in full walker gear. And the best thing is when I got to the hotel, going up to my room, I hit the elevator button and it opens up and you just see two people and they're just like, oh, and I'm like, this makeup. And they were like, they were traveling here from Dallas. And they were like, well, we actually came to visit for The Walking Dead. And I was like, I'm on The Walking Dead. So it was a weird occurrence. But yeah, it was only two times I got to leave with makeup.
Yeah. You got Nichelle said that she saw you as a zombie. And when you first saw yourself in full makeup, were you terrified? As you yourself seeing it, did you think, wow?
That's an interesting question. Yes. I think what it made me realize is what I will look like when I'm really old and decaying. It's kind of scary because they build off the contours of your face, your cheekbones, and, you know, and I'm skinny, I already have that. So for them to build and exaggerate that even more on me, it was kind of, it took me back the first few times. But it was also, I kind of came to fall in love with it because I could look different so many different ways. Like it was like they can make one person look like 1,000 different people, you know?
Yeah.
That's how talented their makeup department is.
So you're saying that again, Rhino couldn't be zombies and couldn't be walkers.
Yeah. Why not?
We would show up for makeup and Gary, they would say, you guys are good.
They would just, what they would do with you guys is you just got bit.
Okay.
You haven't had time to wither away and decay, or right. You haven't had bits fall off. You know, you guys are freshly turned.
That's awesome.
As far as being an actor and a performer and all that, and an artist, a lot of artists, they also, like the writing part and other parts of, a business like that, the entertainment business. Do you have any, do you write anything? Do you, I know you said you were into painting, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I paint. I'm just a creative person. I paint. I've actually written a novella, but I need to edit it, and it's a long term project. But yeah, I do write. I write shorts. I would like to get more into actually filming them. But yeah, right now, lately, I've been working on a lot of just pen and ink art, and but that's really been my focus as far as art right now. And I'm still interested in acting as well, but it's kind of with what I went through last year, it's the physical, I'm still healing a little bit. So I just, you know, taking my time getting back into physical roles like that.
Right.
Yeah, something you want to get back into then, more acting and.
Oh, definitely. I still want to act and write. Like as Rhino asked, like, I want to write, I want to make, more shorts. I kind of want to go more in that direction and act outside of makeup a little bit more. If I can get those opportunities, I would definitely do that.
We got go ahead.
Oh, because now I'm not as familiar with you know, like acting and stuff, but like in wrestling, in certain companies, you can wrestle and then you can do stuff behind the scenes, whether mm-hmm. it's creative or, you know, producing a match or whatever. But like companies like WWE, either you're a producer, you know, you could be a former wrestler, but they don't like to mix both, you know. Mm-hmm. Is it similar in, you know, in the entertainment business? Like, you know, some companies you can only act and, or you can act and direct, or is it just, or help with this scene or that scene behind the scenes and then act in that scene? Do they do that in Hollywood, or is it certain films, certain directors will allow that, or certain companies?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think that when it comes to big budget, like Marvel, big Hollywood, TV, anything with millions behind it, they want to compartmentalize you. They want actor, producer, writer. I mean, it's to the point that there's a person reading the script to make sure words are said correctly, and it's very compartmentalized. However, you can be on that set and something can happen where they'll move you and adjust you and see, like, okay, you were in this department, but you can work really well here. So where it does tend to be with big budget, more compartmentalized, you can find your space easier in a way.
Okay.
But I would say, as far as now independent funded movies, and I think you have much more freedom to join as a group. Like, you know, like when we filmed Itch in New York, we had a 6-person crew. There was a director, a sound person, and a few actors, and we were all out there switching, like, okay, you get the camera this for this shot, you hold the lights for this. Everybody was working as a cohesive group doing everything.
Yeah.
So I think you tend to find that more in the independent world, but that's been my experience with it.
Yeah.
No, Patrick wants to know if you can give Terry any advice if he was to come in the ring as a zombie.
I saw this. How do you normally come into the ring?
Slow like a zombie.
Slow, like a man.
The only advice I give you then is just loose. That's that when we went through zombie school, all Greg ever told us was, imagine basically you're walking home at 2 a.m. having a good night out, and you're somehow going to get there. It might not be a straight line. But and just keep your muscles loose. But yeah, I mean, you probably don't need any advice.
No, I remember this is probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I was with WWE, and Roman Reigns said, yeah, someone came up to him when he was down in NXT. You know, nobody walks to the ring cool and slow, you know, and this and that. And he goes, well, I'll do it. I was running to the ring. And I'm like, well, I wish someone would have said that to me, you know.
That's awesome.
That's why he walks through the ring the way he does. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to jump on that bandwagon and start doing that too, Roman. So
now the WWE just did a whole zombie thing just a few months ago, where zombies actually came out of the crowd and tried to eat the Miz and John Morrison.
Oh, okay. Was that part of what was that part of?
They were promoting something. I forget what it was. They must have had a tie into one of the movies or one of the deals they do. So, Don would remember. Oh, all right. Which I got to talk to you about.
You guys got to hold on 1 second. My cat is busting my door down, so I have to let my cat in.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think you just wanted to tell us that national championship.
I'm on. Yeah, one more time. Yeah.
He does not want to be outside of this room right now.
I was telling Gary, you just wanted to get up so you could show us your shirt again.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Hey, wear it with pride. Wear it with
pride. I've got another one, so I've got two.
I'm doing a quick change. There's only one wardrobe today, so.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle said, no way Rhino would need makeup. He's far too handsome to be a walker. Well,
he does
wear makeup.
I do?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
You know, where are you going?
Because, hey.
When you're in the ring, you don't wear makeup or nothing? Or when you're on the bright lights? No. They ever gave you makeup in WWE or something? No,
just on Saturday nights. I mean, wait.
Next question.
Yeah.
Brad Raskies, what was Steven's favorite role? I'm guessing as a walker. What was your – or maybe overall, what was your favorite role?
My favorite role my favorite walker was probably the where Ike Lynn and Abraham's reigns, and just because of the experience on set that day. But because I actually ignored a rule, and it was the first time in my acting career where I did something I wasn't supposed to do, and it worked out, and they kept it. So I'm very proud of that day. But do you remember the insurance man walker, the one in the who's locked in the office?
Yeah, he was in your office.
Yeah, and he had scribbled a message to humanity. That one stuck with me actually for quite some time after I did it. That was the first kind of acting experience that I actually carried away. A piece of it with me, and the Grimsdyke tribute walker, which was barely in there in season 5. I think it's the episode, when Tyrese is passing away and they're carrying him away. I'm the old man Grimsdyke walker following him, and I was that one as well. Those were probably my top three.
Yeah, that goes there. I asked, what was the rule you broke?
So they were filming the shot. I'm supposed to come up and dip my hands. I'm supposed to drop and put my hands in, but it was a long shot and I was supposed to stop my hands right before I put them in the fake blood, because they didn't want to have to wash my hands off for the second take. And they were going to do a turnaround and have a front-facing camera on me sticking my hands in. But on the second take, I did it wrong the first time, and they cleaned me off and they told me not to do it. And I just thought, when I was walking up to it on the second take, I was like, that's just going to look stupid if I just stop. So I remember talking to the makeup artist, and I told him, I'm going to do this again. And he was like, don't worry about it. I'll clean it up. If anybody else chew, I'll clean it up. And I did it, and no one yelled cut. And I kept doing it for another 10 seconds and then yelled cut. And then Kevin came running out and he was like, all right, you weren't supposed to do that, but they like it. So we're moving on. And we were done for the day. So that was kind of like the first moment where I realized, like, when you're acting, you should give the director their vision and honor that. But there should be at least one take where you honor yours and let them choose, because they're the director, but at least have two or three different takes for them to choose from. Don't do the same thing in every take. So give them one for you, one for them. And that was the day I decided.
Now, I would imagine, Terry, in wrestling, you have to take in risks as far as, like, you know, you maybe tried something different or something, or you weren't supposed to do something.
You know, a lot of times you have your freedoms, you know. I mean, certain things you can and can't do because, you know, and Gary, you're learning this, you know, when wrestling, you know, when you have an hour show, a two-hour show, you don't want to see in the first match what someone might do in the last match. So a lot of times they'll just say nobody uses a chair, nobody use this move, and a lot of times when other people have moves, you try not to use their moves, you know, out of respect. So you know, like a director or something like that doesn't necessarily have to tell you, but you kind of know, and out of respect, they don't overuse your moves. But yeah, there's a lot of times, but sometimes, you know, like you said, if you feel it, you know, like you're not supposed to grab the microphone, I would just go out and grab it, you know, and especially on live events, you know, TV, it's a little more strict, but yeah, I figured, you know what, I'll do it until someone tells me to stop. You know, it worked, and I was able to get comfortable, you know, so it's kind of like a rehearsal for you guys, you know, like our live events, you know, in front of people. That was like our rehearsal. So when we looked at the TV, you know, they're like, hey, this guy's doing this and it's really working. Let's do it on TV, you know, so guy or girl.
Yeah, and David Matheny said, heck yeah, he's made it to the show. Maybe might be the first time, right, Dave? No. Let's see. How can we see photos of those original Spider-Man? That's a original art from a comic book, Amazing Spider-Man. It's actually in a strip club, so I thought it was kind of cool. You don't see that very often in a Spider-Man comic, but yeah, it's Mark Bagley art. So yeah, there's that.
Gary, did you change your office around?
I flipped the computer around.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I flipped the computer around because, I don't know, we've seen Tony Dorsett for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So I flip him around, and now we're going to see the other wall.
Okay.
You know, change it up a little bit. Hey, Steven, what was the best advice someone gave you that you still use today? Is there anything that stands out in particular?
Best advice. I'll say something from my grandma. She always told me to let people surprise you.
Yeah.
And that's been very valuable to me, is even when I find sometimes that I might be meeting people that might have rubbed me the wrong way initially, or I might think I might not agree with or something, like, just give it time. Let them surprise you. One day you might be surprised and find out you're best friends. I don't know. My grandma always told me that, and it stuck with me. So.
Grandmas are wise.
Yes.
David liked that perspective. I think that was back to the, when you were talking about the Glenn part. So that came up right around then. Shell wants to know, how many seasons have you been a zombie?
Four. Season 5 through 9.
That's a long time. Is that, do they generally stick around that long? I mean, is that a...
I mean, there's a few walkers. Like, I'm sure Kevin Galbraith probably still goes and does one walker a year or a season, maybe more. There's a few guys they'll use every, and girls, they'll use every year, one or two people. But usually you max out at like three years. You start doing other stuff. It's a very physically tolling job. But yeah, I don't know. I forgot the question.
That's all right. I
love doing it all the time. Hey, before you ask that next question, has anybody given you advice that's really stuck with you? Family member, coworker?
Who?
No, I'm just asking you, because Brad had that question.
Oh, Steven, yeah.
As, like, in work or, you know, or in life or?
Nothing that's really stuck with me. I don't know.
Oh, really?
It walks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. It's probably a duck.
I'll never forget my dad. He told me, he goes, if you want to eat, you work. You don't work, you don't eat. And I like to eat. So, and then he told me, he goes, one day, because when I was a kid, I bought a pair of Bo Jacksons. And it was my first job on, you know, I had paper routes, but I was bussing tables. And I bought a pair of Bo Jackson Nike shoes. And they were great, right? My first Nikes. And he goes, how much did you pay for him? I go, $95. He shook his head. I go, with all due respect, and I said it in a respectful way, I go, I worked for this money. He goes, one day you'll learn the value of a dollar. And he was not lying. And, as Gary, most of my clothes are free.
Right. I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. Flip flops and free.
Right.
Let's see what we got. Also, Drew, give him a perspective. Randall, do you still talk to WWE talent? If so, can you
get every show often. Yeah.
She wants to see New Day on the show. So Xavier and Kofi, I believe, and Big E. Yeah. Next week. No.
Now, have you always lived in Georgia, or are you born and raised?
No, I was born in Augusta, Georgia, and I moved up here to Atlanta in 2004. I lived here till 2019. I moved to Chicago until January of last year. I moved back.
Okay.
So yeah, I've pretty much been, well, I spent a year in North Carolina when I was a kid.
Okay.
Around the Durham area, but I'm pretty much a Georgia boy and a couple years in Chicago. That's about it.
Yeah. Now, how did you like Chicago? How'd you like the winters?
Honestly, I loved Chicago. When I moved to Atlanta in 2004, I was leaving to move to a big city. Mm-hmm. And I kind of grew up on that 1980s. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere idea. So I just wanted to move to a big city out of high school. And then I realized I could not afford to move to New York City. So I moved to Atlanta. But Atlanta still wasn't the big city that I wanted. And when I got older, I realized that was just something I wanted to do. Yet I still could not afford New York City.
Right.
So I went to Chicago and I loved it. I loved everything about Chicago. I would still be there if it weren't for that winter.
That's your question.
I grew up, if I don't ever see snow again, like good on snow, just two seasons in Chicago. Never want to see it again.
We have flip flops and shorts up here in snow.
Yeah. The rest of my life, I will be inching closer and closer to the equator. Like,
that's the way you retire. You live up north, you put a shovel on the top of your roof, you drive south until somebody says, what's that? They don't know what a shovel is. That's where you stop and that's where you live.
That's a good question right there. Actually, I just saw this. What's the best barbecue in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, David.
Right down the street from me, actually. Look up Ford's Barbecue. It's in a suburb right outside of Atlanta called Tucker. And then, what is that one spot that's down on the south side? I don't know. Go to Google and type in that, and it won't steer you wrong.
Brad loves Georgia, has some of the best food he's ever tasted.
I love Southern food. I missed, that was one thing I missed in Chicago. When I first moved up there, I was looking for a pimento cheese, like the spread on a sandwich. No one knew what I was talking about. It was like not in the stores. And I'm like, So
you like the food, right? Because my wife Dawn said that you and your mom, was it, did like a food? Like a food tour or something? What was that about?
When I got out of the hospital and I was healing, I had to eat, man. Like I had to gain a lot of weight back. And I mean, this is me putting on 30 pounds in 8 months. So yeah, we were just going through all around Atlanta, Southern food and, that you just made me think of another one too. Is called it's by North Lake Mall. Fork in the Road. Very good soul food and barbecue.
Sounds like a good barbecue joint. Fork in the Road.
Yeah.
Hey, Rhino, but you wrestled in Atlanta area before, right?
Oh yeah, several times.
Anything stick out down there about Atlanta when you're down there? You get to know at all?
We used to, I started going down there in 95 for WCW when we were doing TV tapings at Center Stage. And then the Ramada, I remember the Ramada at the by the airport. That's where we'd stay most of the time. As far as places to eat, no, not really. But yeah, I've always had fun wrestling. Macon, Georgia, wrestled there. Yeah.
It's hot, but wrestling down there.
Yeah. In Georgia. Yeah. So I've always had fun in Georgia.
So. Traveling anywhere over 40 has an underlying perspective of needing good food. you ain't lying. Steven always posts. Rita said your post always made her hungry.
I was supposed to. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine. I always hated to be one of those people too. Like it was like, all he does is post pictures of cats and food. Man, that's basically what I've become. But, I mean, hey, man.
What's wrong with that? You're healthy.
I'm happy. I'm happy when I eat. And yeah,
it's all them. Hey, Terry's gone. Yeah, you know him. I'm glad. I see you look great. You sound great. I know you went through some stuff. So if you want to tell any of your fans how you're going, how everything's going now, and how you're doing, and what you got on the horizon. Plug some stuff. We'll wrap it up here pretty soon. So,
all right. Yeah. I mean, really, I'm it's back. Just hey. Yeah. No, I don't really have anything to say other than thanks for having me. I know we had planned to do this back in April, but things happened, and I'm glad that you're still here for me, still a bro, and.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, brother.
We're all, that's all I really have to say, man. I don't really have anything to promote. I will soon be doing art, and I'm trying to get stuff into galleries, and I've got a movie, Itch, that's directed by Matt Cochran, that is going around circuits right now. I don't know when its wide release will be. It's a short film. But I'm very proud of that, and I can't wait till I can share it with more people. But other than that, I'm just thankful to be here and talking to you guys.
Do you have any social media and stuff where people can find you and follow you? And stuff?
Actually, no. I have Facebook. I have a Facebook page on Facebook, but I don't do Instagram or Twitter or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, you're like me. I don't know. I have a hard time logging on to this site.
I just got to a point where for me, self-promotion, I very much love, I realize that's something we all have to do, but it's taxing on my personality. So it's just best for me to keep that at bay and find different avenues of sharing.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Steve. It's great talking to you. You look great. I'm sure I'll see you again real soon. And
thanks, Gary. I'll definitely be in touch. And it's nice to meet you, man. And checking out more of your work as soon as I sign off here. So
for sure. Right, we'll see you. Yeah, we'll see you back in Monroe. We'll have to take you out on the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you invite me, I'll be there.
All right, brother.
We'll go. All right,
take it easy.
That was Steven Vining of The Walking Dead, everybody. So happy to have him. It was good to see him. Great to talk to him. Really. He's doing great. So
Yeah, down in Atlanta, man. Atlanta, it is a big city, But I understand what he was talking about, like New York and Chicago could be a little more intimidating as a bigger city.
Expressway. You ever drive down there? You drive down there at all?
Yeah. It can get pretty congested.
Yeah, a couple times I've went through there. You're right, Brad. The traffic, the expressway. Oh my goodness, that was pretty bad. And we got some stuff to promote too. We got something coming up here in February, right?
Yeah, February 17th, IWR.
IWR 9, St. Valentine's Day Mayhem, the Night of Champions.
Yes, the Night of Champions. We're going to crown the tag team champions and the world heavyweight champion.
Right, and so far we've announced that Trey Miguel is going to defend his United States Championship against Rohit.
Yes.
So and that's great. And yep. The tag team titles are going to be up for grabs too, with you and Heath teaming up against DTA.
Yes.
Johnny Bravo in their corner.
Yes, Johnny Bravo is going to be in their corner. So
we haven't announced the heavyweight world championship match yet. I'm sure we'll do that real soon.
Yeah, this week. So
sometime this week
or by the weekend.
Yep. So, but everything's going good. We can't wait. The tickets are sold out in the first row. Second row is going almost gone. So if you guys want VIP, you got some second row left, third row, some third row left. www.purplefest.com/IWR9. I advise you to get on there and get those tickets. It's going to be a great night. All three belts will be up, all three titles. It's just going to be amazing. Oh, and Michelle said do a gun show for it. We're not leaving
yet. For sure. And this is in a tournament. This is the one match takes all. So it's the matches are figured out of, you know, by points and stuff like that and wins and all that stuff from the prior year.
So yeah. And even if it's not an IWR, I mean, it could be wins and.
Right. Exactly. Not just in IWR. So overall performance and stuff. So, but yeah, those titles will be in circulation. They're great. We've got a lot of good fan interaction or fan feedback.
Yes.
You know, the titles. So.
Yeah, thanks, David. We appreciate you coming on. We try to come up every week, get some a little bit different every week there. And the titles do look good. And I think they do too. I'm really impressed with how they came out.
Yes, for sure. So hopefully, Heath Slater and I were first ever SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions. Hopefully, we can capture that magic again. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then IWR, hopefully we'll be able to grow and start running shows in different towns. So, but we'll always run every 6 weeks in Monroe. So,
yeah.
That's a great building.
It is really.
Yeah. And that last show was off the hook.
Yeah. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's the House of Insanity.
What's that?
House of Insanity.
House of Insanity, baby. Yeah, I was just watching some wrestling earlier today, some ECW stuff on YouTube, and that night Sandman came back to the arena. Did I ever send you that clip? I was in the ring.
I don't know.
I'm going to send that to you, and if you could, post it, you know.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we'll post it like extreme insane, you know, memory. Something like that on the ICW or IWR page. Yeah.
An old TNA Impact match. Me and Don were just watching one. It was you and, man, I can think of what it was now. Abyss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was Abyss and Raven for the championship. And then at the end, I mean, tacks everywhere, doors being, everything's being broken. And then you came up in the end and you speared Raven.
Yeah. That was my debut. Yeah.
That wasn't your debut there?
Yeah, that was my debut. Yeah.
What a way to come in.
Right. That was August of 2005 at the pay-per-view.
17 years ago almost.
Wow. Man, oh, man.
Just give it perspective.
Yeah. Wow. Holy cow.
I don't know much about Abyss, but every time I've seen him wrestle, man, guys, it was crazy.
Yeah. No, but, you know, if you just think about it, in 05, if you backtrack 17 years from that, you know, man, time just flies, huh?
Way too fast. David,
how long have you been married now, Gary?
30-some years.
Oh, shoot, I put you on the spot.
32 years.
Done. Okay, man, you should have known that. I should have told you so you could have thought think about it. Well, you guys got married, what, in 91?
91, so going on 31 years.
Yeah, so. I'm not going to ask you the date.
July 27th.
Okay, see, there you go. So going on 31 years. Time flies. Probably if I asked Dawn that, she'd be like, no, they've been dragging out for the last 31 years.
She would also say that, oh, I remember that day. That was the last day of my life. Hey, Rhino versus Christian versus Kurt Angle is the best TNA match he's ever seen. You remember that match?
Yeah, yeah. I think it went like an hour long.
Really?
Yeah, I think the whole thing was over an hour. Yeah.
It's. I just marvel at how long wrestlers can stay in the business.
Yeah. Some bodies are built for it, and some aren't. You know. So
yeah.
Some can take more abuse than others, and yeah. So.
Yeah, some of you guys must love though, because that's a definite beating.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about it is you know, and some wrestlers just have passion for inside the ring. You know, obviously, you know, I have passion for outside, you know, the producing, the booking, the promoting, you know, and all that stuff, you know, so you kind of know, you know, and, you know, the longevity of something like that, you know, it's nice because, you know, it's just not your in-ring career. It's the career behind the scenes too.
And Dave said that it was the whole episode. That match was the entire episode. David said it was the entire episode of the show. That match.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Sabin versus Trey Miguel was legendary. It was. It was an amazing match. I mean, if anybody hasn't seen it yet, we have it up on our YouTube page, Terry and Gary TV. We have pretty much all of our matches up with commentary from the last event from IWR8. So go check them out. We're going to get wrapped up here in this show.
I just watched that match today.
Yeah,
I think what an awesome match. Yeah, and what a build too. They're just so talented. Saban, oh, you know, Petey was supposed to be there, but you know, he was contractually obligated with WWE. So you know, we're happy for him. And you know, up until I want to say a week or week and a half before, and Saban was like, "Hey, I'm there." You know, so I mean, it's like both of those guys are, you know, two of the best.
I'm just putting our YouTube pages. Somebody just said they're going to check it out on YouTube. But IWR9, St. Valentine's Day Mayhem. Get your tickets now. Three championship title matches on the line. It's going to be a great event. And if you've seen our shows, you know what I mean. It's
Well, plus we're back on that 9 o'clock curfew. You know, the building, usually if you go over 5-10 minutes, they don't, you know. But the last one, we were over, I think, 20 minutes. So
yeah.
It was like 9:20 when it ended. So I'm like, whoa, we blew that curfew out of the, you know. Sometimes you have a curfew on a building, and plus during the week, you know, you want to kind of stick to that curfew. So
yeah, it was a vacation.
Oh yeah, it was a vacation night. So
no school the next day, but we'll be back eventually. So whenever we guys keep you posted. And some Thursday coming up down the road, we'll see you guys.
Yeah, I think this coming up Thursday, we got to get some guys. Maybe we'll have the heavyweight championship match. So
okay,
yeah,
sounds good. We'll definitely do that. Thanks for tuning in, Terry and Gary's Low Expectations Podcast, iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, I don't know, all that stuff. YouTube, Terry and Gary TV, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Have a good day. Talk to you later. We will gonna go away. Oh, yeah.